The following podcast has been recorded under the influence of alcohol. While not intentionally offensive, things are said, feelings may be hurt, and f**ks are not given. Clearly, it's the beer's fault.
The Good Beer Bad Movie Night Podcast.
Welcome to episode number 33 of Good Beer, Bad Movie Night, the podcast dedicated to movies of questionable quality and the frosty adult beverages that help make them tolerable. Happy New Year, folks. It is 2020, finally.
Woot!
We made it another year, huh? My name is Pete, and tonight's feature presentation from 2012 is FDR, American Badass. a modern American classic, in my opinion.
I have sad news to report.
Already?
Yes. 33 episodes of this podcast. 32 of them I came back for. I'm retiring after this.
Oh no. Ooh. We're losing one. Oh, I'm so sad.
It's all my fault, folks.
You can hate this.
It's all my fault.
You can come back, Jen.
I'll just Skype in from now on.
That's it. That'll work for us. So as we're all talking, here we go. Let's introduce the cast here. Of course, Dave is with us. How's it going, Dave? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I do well.
Troy is with us, too, with his giant new drinking hand.
That's right.
We'll have to post that.
The hand of power.
And our dearly departed, or soon to be dearly departed, Kathleen.
Hello.
She's not happy, folks.
Fucking movie's awful.
And we already heard her voice in returning for her triumphant return. Let's try
triumphant?
That again. Triumphant return.
Allow myself to introduce myself.
Right. We have Jen. Welcome back, Jen.
Thank you very much, and you're welcome, everybody.
This is wonderful. I mean, what, last year was, you picked...
Tough Turf.
Mm-hmm. Right. The Avengers prequel.
Right. So I pissed Troy off with that one. And I am going for the full Carlson trifecta here and pissing off Kathleen.
You'll never be invited back to their house ever again.
Cool.
Well, as Jen is here and has picked the movie and the beers, I think.
Yes.
Yes. Awesome.
I thought you weren't a beer drinker.
I am not, but I picked the beers anyway.
Oh.
She went with theme, not flavor.
Okay. That's cool.
Ah, okay.
I don't understand them, but I read the labels.
All right.
You can read. That's a good start. So that's what I went with.
So long as there was more thought put into that than there was into selecting this movie.
Hey, I put a lot of thought into this movie.
I cannot wait, as your profession is... History teacher.
I am a historian by profession.
I literally looked at her at one point and was like, how are you not offended by this movie? How? And she's just like, hey. I fucking hate this movie.
So Jen is going to do our six-minute synopsis, where we're going to take 6 minutes to recap the whole film top to bottom. And then we're going to take a break and have one of your delicious beers. Talk about the movie for a little bit. Take another break a little later on for a second beer. Then finally, we're going to wrap up the evening with our six-pack rating as we let you know just how drunk you need to be to enjoy
all
this
drunk,
film.
All drunk. I can't even sing my song. I'm so angry. All the beer.
Why don't we just get right into it to pull the Band-Aid off, so to speak. Kathleen is seething.
Yes.
I'm so looking forward to Jen's six-pack. Synopsis. She's fanning herself.
I have to stop laughing first because it's been so much fun.
I'm glad you're having fun.
All of these people enjoy my pain.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad that you are enjoying this because truly the movie put a strain on my marriage.
I told you to tell her to leave the room.
You know those situations where like you just don't learn until your hand gets burnt?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Consider my hand burnt. Mm-hmm.
I showed y'all the trailer. Like, I don't understand the problem.
I didn't need a trailer. I just needed a title.
I didn't see a trailer. No one showed me a trailer.
Pretty sure I sent it to everybody. Anyway. You ready?
As I'll ever be.
All right.
Go.
FDR, American Badass, a movie that has forever changed the way that I will be able to teach the Roosevelt administration. Governor Franklin Roosevelt, played by Barry Waswick, is first seen hunting with some friends in the woods of New York in 1931, while also talking about Woodrow Wilson's dick. The day after Woodrow Wilson is showing his dick to the entire Navy Department, World War I began. I'm going to do everyone here a favor and not obsess about the fact that they're calling it World War I in 1931 when they absolutely had no idea there was going to be a World War II. But anyway, just when they think they've spotted their target, they see instead a werewolf. Because apparently in this world, werewolves not only exist, and not only are they known to the entire world, but they also carry polio. In their skirmish with the werewolf, FDR gets bit on the leg before the werewolf gets killed. He wakes up in a hospital room where first he calls Eleanor Kitten Tits, and then he asks his doctor Ethan from Lost if his cock still works. Assured that his cock still does work, FDR proceeds to shush Eleanor and then make fun of a disabled boy with a stutter. In this alternate werewolf universe, FDR is also an asshole. Lewis, a.k.a. Bruce McGill, a.k.a. the dude from Rizzoli and Isles, is called to the morgue because, gasp, the werewolf is also a Nazi. Just in case the suitcase full of Nazi shit didn't convince you, the stomach tattoo sealed that deal. FDR starts to campaign for president, which hilariously includes FDR singing a Bon Jovi song on the docks with union workers. While campaigning in Georgia, he meets Jimmy Carter's uncle Cleavon and Cleavon's sexually adventurous wife Marietta, who promises to blow every voter in Georgia to win the state for FDR. He does win the state and the election, which for some reason leads his son to shit in a vase. After the election, we check in with werewolf Hitler and werewolf Mussolini, and then racist werewolf Hirohito. All of whom are pissed that FDR got elected. While Hitler wants to go to war, no surprise there, Mussolini hatches a different plan. They want to spread their werewolf virus around the world through their major export, alcohol, just in time for the for FDR to end Prohibition. FDR, in his new Delano 2000 wheelchair, shows up himself to stop the distribution of the tainted wine and beer, but not the sake, because no one drinks that pussy drink. Fun fact, Prohibition really did end on December 5th, 1933. Good thing Dougie Mac, played by Laura Palmer's father, or the devil, depending on your viewing choices, gave FDR that wheelchair with the house numbers on the back. The werewolf trio decides to declare war after all to spread the werewolf virus. And in the meantime, FDR gets a really, 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 really weird blowjob from his Coney Island girlfriend. After Eleanor busts in and strong arms a hoe, FDR changes his pants and goes to have a seriously weird conversation with Eleanor. The entire movie, she has been super freaked out by FDR's disability, choosing to sleep apart from him since he got bit. He calls her out for being a shitty person before saying that he may be the first president ever to never get laid while in office, and he's in his third term. He then meets with Dougie Mac and Eisenhower while in his PJs and decides to go to war without any mention of Pearl Harbor. I will spare any of you the conversation of the alternative history of what American history would look like without Pearl Harbor, but anyway. With war beginning in the morning and his marriage on the rocks, FDR's having a bit of a crisis. Bud from The Cosby Show tells him that he should check George Washington's humidor in the bottom drawer. Inside, he finds joints labeled cherry tree. FDR lights up, and after he does, the picture of Abraham Lincoln on the wall starts talking to him. Lincoln, played by TV's Hercules, that's right, Kevin fucking Sorbo, tells FDR that G-Dub's weed allows Lincoln to visit presidents in need like FDR, and that this president in 2012, this dude Obama, is gonna have to talk to Lincoln a lot. FDR asks why werewolves are coming after him like this, and Lincoln says that they can sense greatness, which is why they attacked Washington, Lincoln, and FDR. Why didn't they attack Wilson?
One minute.
Because why didn't they attack Wilson, who led us into World War I? Because that was a bitch war that we really didn't need to be involved in, and Hercules isn't wrong there. Lincoln shows FDR that he can fly, letting FDR fall because he didn't grab on to the cartoon American Eagle. God, this movie is awesomely bad.
That's bad.
After waking up, there's a Batman wipe to D-Day where FDR talks to the band of stepbrothers before the invasion. FDR decides to fly the mission himself, and at the climax of what must be the best, the student film with the best cast ever, he shoots the hell out of the werewolf trio who are all in the same spot for some strange reason. His plane goes down, and he's missing for 16 days while Eleanor sat in the White House drinking Jack and knitting. FDR shows up, and Eleanor promises to ride him like the free pony at the state fair. He gives one final fireside chat to tell people that he's alive and remind everyone that he is an American badass.
Yay!
6 minutes and 10 seconds.
Yes. Ooh. Well done.
What a more accurate 6 minute synopsis.
Indeed. Indeed. Yes. Jen wins.
And just within the parameter of not having to have a punishment.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. We haven't really talked
this
about
this would be our first one.
It would have been. Mm-hmm. However, I think that it. 10 second is yep. That.
I did ask what the rules were because I was like, this is the first time and I feel like I shouldn't be as a guest. I was like,
no.
No, especially because this is the movie.
Well, and that was, she asked me that question before we watched the movie. Had she watched me ask the question, she had asked me the question after we'd watched the movie, would have been like, if it's not exactly 6 minutes on the dot, if it is 1 second before or 1 second after, you are definitely doing the consequence. But she'd already asked me, so I was already truthful.
So far, one for one on the new 6 minute rule.
Yep.
I like it. So far, so good. So let's get a beer. What do you say?
Yes, please.
Yes.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
That sounded a lot more difficult than it needed to be.
I'm weak.
That is an unusual bottle opener.
Yes, the little cap gun thing.
Doubles as a cap gun.
It is fun, but it can be awkward to use it to open things.
Should we all be wearing safety goggles?
Okay. Three of us are.
Shit.
And I'm already angry, so I don't think he's going to aim at me.
Yes, I dare not aim this at Kathleen.
People with 20/20 vision. Take that.
This is the Double D Double IPA. This is someone with absolutely zero beer knowledge speaking. So this is an American Imperial IPA, 9% ABV.
Oh, God.
And
really
the notes, according to this website, Double D is a full-bodied Imperial India Pale Ale, flaunting sultry guava, mango, and tropical fruit aromas. As a result of dry hopping with words I can't pronounce.
Dry hopping with citra,
Zythos, and
crystal hops.
Yeah, crystal's a hard word to say.
It's true. Brewed with...
Burn, professor.
Yep. Light toasted malt and Bravo bittering hops. This double delights with smoothing, warming alcohols and a torrid finish. And this is from Fordham and Dominion Brewing Company in Delaware.
If torrid means like alcohol-y, then yeah, I agree. There's some alcohol in this here brew, especially in the after.
So it says 90 IBUs, and then it's 9%. Ooh. That would fit the Geary.
Yeah.
I think it would fit the Geary only because it's very hot.
It's very hot.
If you don't level up on your alcohol, Geary, you're like, it needs to be more alcohol-y.
Yeah.
And for our listeners who are not familiar with the Geary is the idea that if the IBUs, which is the International Bittering Units, and the ABV, which is the alcohol by volume, are numerically similar, the beer is more balanced. So this beer has, 90 IBUs?
My app says 90, yes. and it says 9%.
9% ABV.
Which
so,
is exactly.
Right, which is fits in with the Geary.
I would say it does. I mean, it's still grassy for me. But I think it's like what you said, because it's so high that you're going to get that anyway. And it's a double, which I know doesn't really mean double, but those tend to be grassier as well. But I still like it. I'm also rage drinking, so.
And it's got a pretty lady on the label.
It does have a yes. pretty lady.
And that is the
ample
reason.
Ample cleavage. Yes.
Yes. So the reason that I chose it, having absolutely zero knowledge other than what I've learned from this podcast about beer.
And that's when she doesn't fast forward through it.
I stopped doing that.
We love you too.
Is because it does. This is the Dominion Brewery has a pinup girl series.
Oh, fun. That's cool.
Yeah. So you could buy the pinup variety pack, which we almost did because they did have it at wherever we went to buy the beer
today.
No, we went yesterday.
Oh, but you went to the beer mecca, the mm-hmm. Kenny Road. Oh, that's mm-hmm. cool.
Very cool.
That's awesome that they had. Yeah. Something so far away from a smaller brewery.
So there is on the label and on the packaging, it is a pinup girl on a bomb, lots of cleavage, World War II era bombers. So sticking with the theme of the film, that is why this beer was chosen.
I really like this label art. I mean, with the pinup girl and her sumptuous décolletage.
Is that a real word?
God bless awesome. You.
It is a word when you don't want to say boobs. Yeah. You say décolletage.
I was invoking Christopher Walken and the Continental's SNL bit. But.
Yes.
But it is really cool. I've always been a fan of like pinup and like
the Betty Page stuff. And
yeah. Mm-hmm. Or like the nose art on planes, mm-hmm. like the, you know, Memphis Belle and so on mm-hmm. and so forth. I've always loved that stuff. And this is a really cool label.
It's a little bit hot for.
It is for sure.
It's definitely alcohol-y flavored.
Mm-hmm. Oh my. That middle beer has a quite the cleavage going on.
Yeah, that's the other one that they had that we didn't buy.
They didn't buy. Okay. Mm-hmm. Jen showed me a picture of the variety pack of the pinup series from Ford and
Old Dominion.
Old Dominion. Yeah, that's the artwork's beautiful and mm-hmm. a lot of fun. This is a big, big beer. Mm-hmm.
We really could have shared these.
Probably.
Especially since as a cast, we sort of set a rule a few episodes ago that Pete wasn't allowed to bring 2 9% beers to
but
the same.
Nothing said Jen couldn't.
I didn't know that rule.
Hey, she didn't bring 2 9% beers.
I know. She brought a 9 and an 11. So this should be interesting toward the end.
This could
sorry.
Get sloppy.
Just as long as Kathleen doesn't start throwing hands. Wow.
No. Well, what would probably happen is. The same thing that happened when Donna and I were watching this movie. Sorry to stop talking about the beer and start talking about the movie. I apologize, but we just do this.
just rip off the Band-Aid.
So Donna stayed in this. I wouldn't say she watched it so much as she stayed in the same room as it was playing for 36 minutes.
Mm.
And I counted her saying some variation of "this movie is terrible." Let me see if I can remember what they were.
36 times.
No, not quite.
Once per minute.
But she said, "Oh God, this is terrible. Honey, this is terrible. Why is this so terrible? This is fucking terrible." And I stopped counting after this eighth time. But she just kind of sat there angrily staring at her phone. And I can turn this off. She's like, no, just play it. I'm like, no, that's not a good sign. And she's
like, I can go downstairs and watch it.
Like, she's just latched onto her anger and it's giving her strength.
It's the equivalent of, no, I'm fine.
Oh no. That's terrifying.
Although, admittedly, she was trapped in the room because she was doing laundry and she was folding and, like, there was still a load of laundry running. So she was stuck in the room with me as I was watching it. And then I probably should have offered to go watch it in another room, and I didn't, and I'm not sure why. Part of me was at first amused that she was not, like, she was complaining, like, she was, like, kind of bitching about it. But after about 10 minutes, I was no longer amused. Now I was just getting nervous. Like, she's getting angry at me, and I kind of want this moment to end.
Yeah. We're watching the movie, and it's like, my first question was, is this a real movie or a student project? And we actually debated this a little bit today, Jen and I, and I was like, I feel like this is the kind of movie that we could have done for Independent July.
It felt a little independent.
Where we wouldn't be punching down.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because clearly it's a studio film, but what sort of shitty studio that should have been burnt down after the fact, I don't know. But So, like, at first I was kind of, I was like, okay, this is clearly low budget. This is crap. This is whatever. Well, then I was annoyed about the werewolf during the day. I was like, there are rules, people. What the fuck is this? And that was the first werewolf. That was before we found out that half the world's terrible leaders are werewolves.
Oh.
Like, by that point, I was like, okay, well, clearly the rules don't apply in this scenario. But it was while he's in the hospital and he's talking about how his penis still works, but he has tiny, shaky polio legs. No. That I finally was just like, Jesus Christ, this movie is homophobic. Like, that was the first, like, bar for me where I was like, no, I can't do all this super trashing of the gays in this movie. Like, it was just ticking me off. And then about five note lines later, I wrote, I hate this movie. And then I wrote, I fucking hate this movie. Then when the devil showed up, I wrote, oh, why is the devil in this shithole movie? Like, I was really upset about that.
If you did not watch Reaper, you might not know him as the devil.
I was going to say, that is great character actor Ray Wise.
Yes. Ray Wise. There's some star power in this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's a beautiful head of hair, too.
Yes, he does.
Yes. Oh, yeah. They did an OHIO as part
they
of
it. They did.
I wrote down OH dot dot IO dot dot. I still hate this movie.
It was in that moment that I had to look up the writer, and my suspicions were confirmed. But continue.
Yeah. And then, oh, where did I write it? I don't remember. Somewhere in my notes, I said that I hate this movie. I hate everyone in this movie. I hate everyone who, oh, here it is. When the Delano wins the election. Okay. This is where I said, he won. And I've lost all respect for everyone in this movie who likes this movie, who paid money for this movie. Ugh.
I paid money for this movie.
Do you, in fact, own this movie?
She bought it from Amazon Prime.
It was cheaper. Like, it was cheaper to buy it, and I knew I was coming out here, and we could watch it again, so mm-hmm. I was just like, I'll just buy it.
Did you buy it streaming, or did you buy a physical copy?
I bought it streaming.
Okay, because yeah. I kind of want a physical copy to see if there's any outtakes and makings of. And
what would they reject? Would they go, no, that's too far?
Because I really want to hear director's commentary this on this.
I really feel scenes. Like this isn't moving the story along.
Wait,
could we have more ketchup and mustard?
Yeah, you're not using enough.
Yeah.
You're going to be a little ketchup heavy on this scene. Like,
the hot dog vendor had a condiment malfunction right away because he started squirting him and nothing came out, but then they cut back to him and then he had it all over him. I think he had a
gross
condiment malfunction.
There's obviously a story behind that.
Yeah. It's called Everyone in This Movie is Stupid.
Just why I want to hear the director's commentary.
Why is the devil in this movie?
Aw. Poor Bruce McGill.
I also, at the very end of it, wrote, my God, I might miss the swarm.
That's, man, I cannot imagine how this is worse than the swarm.
Right?
Oh, no, don't prompt her because she's going to tell you.
I'm sorry. This is worse than the swarm
because
they shit in a vase.
Okay,
that's
that
I knew
you
it.
Actually see.
Did you do it?
Faux poo. God, I hope it's faux. Fall into a clear glass vase and they revisit that joke two more times. And like, the third one, I didn't even catch. Troy was like, oh, when she throws the vase and it shatters against the door and the water isn't clear. And like Troy goes, oh, and I was like, what? He goes, well, she just threw a vase full of flowers and the water's not. And I went, stop, stop, stop.
I didn't catch that. I saw it.
I have, like, what does that mean? I have written right here. The moment I saw shit into a vase, I knew which moment pushed Kathleen over the edge. Yep.
So when I watched it Friday.
Was it your first watch?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And I was texting Troy, and the first time that he shat in a vase, I went, oh, shit.
Exactly.
Kathleen is going to be mad at me. And then in the really, 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 really weird blowjob, I went, Kathleen might disown me.
If it had just been the ketchup and mustard leg feel-up thing, It's the shitting in the vase. Like, that's the thing that I was like, nope, too far.
Can I just say, if that was faux poo in a vase, that's some nice special effects. I really bought that.
I thought you know what? I did too.
It looked like a turd. Because
honestly, I'm not so sure that was special effects.
I don't know. Yeah.
I need it
kind of
in order to keep functioning as a human.
Okay, so I
share the planet with that guy. it needs to be.
Okay, so I pulled the Entertainment Weekly review of this movie.
Oh.
I cannot believe they wasted ink on this.
Because
it didn't get a theatrical release, did it?
Yeah, it did.
Did it really?
I remember seeing like television spots
way.
For it. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And the spot was like, Marco, polio. I'm like, and that was the moment when I knew that I would never see that movie voluntarily, and yet here we are.
But it wasn't voluntarily.
It's not quite voluntarily.
So just as a little context for the folks at home, in choosing the movie, one of the film titles that was floated, because as the guest, the podcast was nice enough that it was my pick, which is why I'm being yelled at. By my couchmate right now.
We may have to switch spots.
Right. The person who brought me into this group of people several years ago.
Welcomed you into my home.
Uh-huh.
Allow you to spend time with my child.
Truth. So the first title that was floated was Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Yes! Mm-hmm. I saw that.
And I said, here's the thing. I read the book, saw the movie, and I have some very serious problems with the discrepancy between the two. So unless y'all are like ready to have that fight, we're gonna choose another movie. And Kathleen was like, we're gonna choose another movie. So this is kind of still on you.
Oh, it is Kathleen's fault.
I have not read that book nor seen that movie, so I had no dog in that fight.
I'm just saying, like, you guys, like, that would have been me geeking out real hard about the book. Anyway, so right, because the
choice was like crimped hair and James Spader, there's no way I would have ever thought that your next choice is going to be shit in a vase.
I didn't know that happened either before I saw the movie. But the context, I'm giving you that context because they do reference Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter in this review.
Yes.
So I just pulled this paragraph. If the Tim Burton produced Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter is the responsible older brother who went to college, started a nice family, and went on to get a great and respectable career, then FDR American Badass is the drug-addled little bro who gets arrested for disorderly conduct every time he leaves his parents' basement. And I mean both things as compliments. And I was like, I'm down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the release dates for both are pretty close.
Yes.
And the production of this movie, FDR American Badass, probably started while buzz for the adaptation of Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter was underway. So they just kind of cranked this one out, much like Corman movies would come up. Like
the Asylum films.
Yeah, Asylum, so and so, yeah.
Atlantic Rim.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or like with the popularity of Star Wars, like you had things like Star Crash and... Was that Battle Beyond the Stars?
Battle Beyond the Stars.
Right. I knew that there was going to be that correlation. Like it was going to be riding on the coattails of larger production.
God, some poor person probably got tricked into seeing this movie thinking they were going to see the other one. What a terrible day.
Riding on the coattails of Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
On the budget of it. Like the exposure. So like it's kind of like a movie remora. Attaching itself to something much larger. Yeah. Sorry.
The only even slight moment that I enjoyed in this movie was the Bon Jovi reference.
That was pretty funny.
Which is,
and unexpected.
I mean, yeah. Literally, I was not ready for that. Second the guy said, Tommy used to work on the docks, I was like, is that Bon Jovi? I mean, he said the first sentence, and I was like, is that Bon Jovi? And then he started talking more, and I was like, oh, maybe not. And then he references Gina, and he's like, oh, where does she work? In the diner all day. I was like, that's fucking Bon Jovi!
Not that I think that you did, but if you had been listening to the music in the background, it was actually like an instrumental adaptation.
Oh, I'm sure it was, but I did not hear that. It's hard to hear through rage, but... And I wasn't even that mad at this point. At that point.
No, nobody
had won in the election yet.
Visit to Georgia.
Cleavon.
Yes. He was... ugh.
Who, by the way, is the writer of this film.
Yes, and he is OSU alumnus, which is...
That makes sense.
OHIO. Correct.
That's really funny. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So proud.
I didn't go there.
I did. So just out of curiosity, Jen, what is your, I mean, you are a teacher of history.
Yes.
Is there a specific era of history that you specialize in?
I specialize in sort of mid to late 20th century civil rights era. So like basically FDR and after.
Ah, okay.
Yes.
So this is kind of your wheelhouse then.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is my proclamation of how are you not
any
offended.
Any historical accuracies in this film?
Prohibition did end that day. Like, he did win those states. I cannot talk about whether or not his son shat in a vase. He did have six kids. He did have polio. They weren't werewolves.
That we know of.
Exactly.
He was blazing on Washington's dash.
I really want that to be true. I really want that to be true. I will be calling him the Delano from now on.
I think you should work that into your curriculum.
She's been referring to George Washington
as G-Dubs.
Which, when she first did it, was before I had seen the movie. I actually thought that she was talking about
George W. Bush.
Yes. Lots of people call him G-Dub.
Not anymore.
Because he's the W, or, you know, like, right. That's how you differentiate between he and dad.
I think he's actually called W.
Yeah, but there are people who call him G-Dub, too.
Okay. I wonder if, like, graduates and current students of George Washington University refer to their own university as G-Dub.
I
go to GW. Yeah, G-Dub. But, going back to what you were talking about as far as historical accuracies, I do, like, I have a limited knowledge of some of the, like, 20th century history. And I do know that, like, FDR won in a landslide against Hoover. Mm-hmm. He literally Hoover won five states, and
real accurate.
Yeah. I mean, he won the other 43
he
or whatever.
Won everything else. So that was a lot of blowjobs by the by Cleveland's wife.
The one thing that did stand out to me that I was like, nope, that is not correct, is when Hercules is flying.
that was inaccurate.
Yes.
Shocker.
When he says, when he's saying like, oh, there's my monument, that did not open until the 60s.
Oh.
So I was like, nope. That is not, but that, like, that's literally in my notes of, like, that's inaccurate. Like, that's where I was at the end of that movie.
You could still think at the end of this movie, huh? Because Kathleen was just rage, sweating next to me.
Just levitating out of her chair from pure hatred.
Okay, that's gross. Some context.
But it would have been appropriate.
Some context. I've been watching some really bad movies lately.
Oh.
Lately?
Yes. Thank you very much.
I'm just saying.
So... I feel like I have a better tolerance.
One of us.
But mine are like 1995 made for TV movies.
Oh, interesting.
This 9% beer is starting to kick in a little bit because I'm starting to feel real warm.
Yeah, me too.
And is it not just
not as I'm mad. Sorry, / you're welcome?
Yes, you're welcome is more appropriate.
Not sure.
But since this movie was so incredibly atrocious, I was keeping an eye out for like historical accuracies, like the truths upon which all of this crap was based on. And like, so I did the research. I mean, it's pretty well known that Hoover was he was really terrible president. Like apart from his like political ineptitude, he was just really out of touch and so on and so forth. And so
isn't he blamed for the Depression?
He's blamed for it, but it's not his fault. Like he was in office for like 8 months before it happened. So he couldn't have screwed up that badly.
I mean, I learned that fact from Annie, the 1980s musical.
Yes.
Getting your history from pop culture.
Like, they did pull some of his dialogue.
That bad of a present. They named a dam and a vacuum after him.
I may have smirked about that too. They named a vacuum after him because he sucks.
Well,
The fireside chats, the radio radio broadcast, that was definitely a thing that happened. I don't think that he rapped over them.
He didn't freestyle his fireside chats.
But he is, so with each new type of technology, there is a president that is able to recognize it and utilize it.
Mm-hmm.
So FDR was the radio president. Mm-hmm. Reagan was the TV president. Mm-hmm. Obama was the internet president.
Yes.
You know, and so the way that he in real life was able to use that. And so while it is incredibly ridiculous, I really do love this take of like him doing this, like, freestyling, like, I could see that being a conversation among historians on this being an interesting way of interpreting how he used the radio.
That is a very generous... that is a very generous interpretation.
Generous. That's what it says on your book.
You should show this movie to your students then as a good example of how...
No. You work with nuns. Do not bring this movie anywhere near your job.
Wait, you work with nuns?
I do.
Hot.
No.
Oh.
Definitely. Please do not put that picture in my head.
Oh.
Right. No,
so it's
but...
all like high on the hill with the lonely goat herd. Sorry.
Jesus. I am going to the National Pop Culture Conference in April, and I am going to talk to my people about this movie. Slash, gonna like show this to my friends while we're there and be like,
yeah, maybe give them a little bit more runway than you gave us.
Or just don't show them.
Texting
the,
them right now.
Scene where he wins.
Yeah, just read them in a little bit more.
Texting them right now.
Just link us in.
I don't know if that's a good idea.
They won't you be gotta... friends with you anymore.
No. I've become better friends with Jen because of this movie.
As I was watching this movie, I knew, based upon my own reactions, that Troy was probably stifling laughter because he didn't want to laugh in front of her.
So I get blamed for this a lot.
No, I don't believe that you're to blame for this.
Good. Okay.
This is actually Troy's respect for you and his belief that Troy wants you to feel how you're going to feel. He doesn't want to undermine your feelings by him finding something funny that you find despicable. Or
Jed doesn't have the problem. She giggled through the whole
thing. I did do that.
Oh, man. I should have watched it with you.
I felt the same way because when Donna was in the room while I was watching this, she's sitting there like, this is so historically disrespectful.
That's the point.
Yeah. That is the point. That is the of point course it's the point. This is a dumb movie. Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Shut up and enjoy it.
All I kept hearing was like, this is so bad. And I was like, that's literally the point of this movie.
Of this podcast.
It is absurd.
Of this podcast. It's like, you know what? I did really well.
You did an amazing job at that.
Yeah.
No, what I think would probably have mitigated a lot of my wife's and possibly Kathleen's rage at this movie was if the humor were a little less crass.
It would. There's a lot of swearing.
Needlessly lowbrow.
There was more fucks in this movie than a Quentin Tarantino film.
Clearly, fucks is not a problem for me.
They had all the fucks. That's where all mine went.
Yeah.
If there's a finite amount of fucks in the world, this movie took
it's
up
been
a lot
used
of
up. Yeah. Yeah.
But see, and I absolutely get your point that like the fucks were not a problem for you.
Don't care about the problem.
But if that was a problem for anybody watching it, I have heard a lot of things that is exactly how people in Washington speak.
No kidding.
Yeah. That doesn't surprise me at all.
I wrote a paper on Veep, and there was a lot of people interviewed in the Obama administration who watched Veep on HBO. If you haven't watched it, it's amazing. And they said that it is the most accurate portrayal of politics ever. And fuck is every other word on that show.
Language was never the concern that I had.
No, but I'm just saying, if that was anyone's concern, I feel like, A, we tend to, especially presidents who... die in office, presidents who have led us through a war or a depression or whatever, we want to put them on a pedestal.
Sure. Mm.
And we don't want them to be seen as
people
well, or saying
I don't think
the
words. That was Kathleen's problem either.
No, yeah. I'm not.
But, I mean, we have a tendency to your point, which I totally agree with, we have a tendency to do with leaders that have done well for us what we do to all history in this country, which is to whitewash it and make it clean and perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. But, you know, and I wasn't even necessarily upset about like it being disrespectful to FDR because he didn't give a fuck.
No.
He's like, I've been dead for how many years and they're still fucking making movies about me? Yeah.
And when I was alive, I was rich.
Right, exactly.
And they made sure to let them know that my cock still worked.
Right. And it wasn't even necessarily some of the, like, sophomoric, you know, but does my dick still work? Well, yes, we had that tested by a nurse. Winky, winky wink, at the wink. Nurse. Like, I was just like, oh, my God.
That nurse was hot.
When that happened, I was like, oh, my God, Pete's dying. He loves this. Yep. So it wasn't that... That was upsetting to me, and it wasn't... I mean, the shitting in a vase was way over the line, for sure. But if you took that out, the thing that just pissed me off and what just made this not even a little bit okay to be enjoyable for me was the blatant homophobia and the blatant racism that I was just like, no.
The racism and the homophobia. Although I didn't detect nearly as much of it as you did.
The first time the son comes in, he said to tell them that he's won. He's like, I have great news. Eleanor says, being gay isn't great news.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Like, he just walked in the room.
Oh, okay. That, I didn't interpret it that way. Like, I just saw it as like, I don't care about my son. That's how I got it. No, but I knew what moments where Pete was probably laughing his dick off.
I wrote some of them down.
I knew which moments where Troy wanted to laugh and wasn't, out of respect for his wife's feelings. And maybe a little fear, because I felt a little fear with my wife being in the room. And I also knew the moments where Kathleen was probably at the pinnacle of her rage. So, I mean, interestingly enough, I felt closer to all of you watching this movie, knowing all of your reactions at the moment.
The holidays in this movie have brought us
all together. Yeah.
It's sort of like, you know, it's one of a situation where like a group of friends, like something happens to one of them, and then all the rest kind of look up at the sky like, oh, something's happened to Pete. Except it was you guys and shitting in a vase.
Yeah, yeah. No, Troy has accused me that if I'm loathing the movie, that he isn't enjoying it as much as he would be if he was watching it by himself.
Yeah.
And I, A, call horseshit on that, and B, also invite him to remember we have two other televisions in the house. So if my feelings on the film are detrimental to your viewing, he definitely can watch them in another room. And I thoroughly enjoyed how upset you were when we watched, we just talked about this today, Independence Day Part 2.
Oh.
You sighed and through that whole movie, which just, I mean, that was what was enjoyable for me, because the movie was terrible.
Yes.
And, you know, we were flanking him giggling through the whole thing.
Yes.
So I don't think that one person's not enjoying a clearly bad film should hold you back.
Fair enough.
Though I did tell him that my rage holding him back was just actually making him a better person. To which he said, are you saying Pete's a bad person? I said, I'm saying Pete probably didn't make Jody watch this movie.
She wanted to watch it, didn't she?
She did. She, when I said what we were watching, she said, oh, I liked Eleanor Roosevelt. Maybe I'll watch that with you. I was like, well, good thing you didn't watch it with us. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, as strong of a woman as she was, as from what I understand,
Eleanor,
she was not a... She was a dust bunny.
Yeah. Just the closest they came to the real Eleanor in this movie was when she had to slap a hoe.
Oh, that was awesome.
I'm absolutely positive that Eleanor Roosevelt had to slap many a hoe in her... in her public life.
Oh.
Well, there's a big conversation, I guess, I don't know if it's, like, reached the general public on whether or not Eleanor was gay or bisexual. And so when, throughout the movie, when Eleanor seemed to be uninterested in FDR, I wondered if that's where they were going with that. If they were kind of, like, starting to sort of circle around this idea he really was cheating on her, and that their relationship became a political partnership. You know, she was able to have relationships outside of the marriage as well. Maybe I thought maybe that's where they were going with that. But then she said that she was going to ride him like the free pony at the state fair at the end. So I was like, oh, apparently not. Cool.
Yeah. No, they just wanted her to be a bad person who didn't like his weird shaky legs.
And
set up for their gross hot dog rubbing.
Right. But once I finished this movie the first time, I did immediately have to watch Warm Springs, where Kenneth Branagh plays FDR, to cleanse my FDR palate. I needed
a Kenneth Branagh sorbet.
I did.
To cleanse the palate.
Versus a
Kevin Sorbo.
Oh, boo.
I like that we both went there, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, absolutely.
So I needed a FDR palate cleanser. So even though I did enjoy the crass humor and I appreciated a lot of the sophomoric humor.
So many dick jokes.
Which I really did enjoy. I needed a serious film where FDR was portrayed in a historically accurate way and Eleanor was portrayed in a historically accurate way.
I think another good portrayal of FDR was John Lithgow when Lions Roared. Bob Hoskins as Churchill. Oh, Churchill. One of the funniest moments of the movie was when
Does
Churchill...
Does he have an English accent?
Yes. Nope. The Churchill without an English accent.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Yeah.
Give me a drink.
So, yeah.
But when Churchill called the Irish potato fuckers, I did laugh out loud at that one.
When they were talking about we're the only Europeans that speak English, they were like, well, the Irish. He was English. Like, no, nah, not those potato fuckers. You're just like, oh, fuck. All right.
Oh, so funny.
Oh, okay.
See, equal opportunity offender.
Yeah, but they managed to put some kind of accent on the Italian and the Chinese guy. Japanese guy.
Yes.
They and roughly on the German for Hitler. Not quite as strong as the other two.
He just wasn't as good an actor.
Sure.
Although it does take skill to portray Hitler through werewolf makeup.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough.
And the guy who was playing Mussolini, I know him as well.
Yes, I know him as well.
Wasn't that Chico Marx? That was no, because
no.
Chico Marx.
I was like, I don't know what's happening right now.
he's a character actor. I recognized him from Tombstone.
Mm-hmm.
He played one of the cowboys.
Right
in Tombstone.
Yes. No, literally the gang called the Cowboys with the red sashes around them.
I know.
Thanks,
Kathleen.
Dick. Dick.
Really, there were Cowboys in Tombstone?
He played,
shut the front door.
He played the OK Corral.
He was a horse.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was a horse.
Right. Front half or back? Probably back if he was in this ass of a movie.
And the back half is a fun half. Wait. No, it isn't.
So...
and Dave, silence.
Dave's thinking.
More and more.
Yeah. How about we take a break? Let's go get this other beer.
Oh, okay.
All right, that sounds
the
good.
Stronger beer.
Oh Lord.
This is I'm already like humming right now.
Yeah, it's hot cheeks and
we just brought one.
That's a good thing.
To share.
That's a very good thing.
I can get out those little tiny glasses I brought.
Well, sure. Or
we'll do.
Well, we've dirtied
you'll
these
do
already,
shots. As the only sober person in the room, this is fun. It's fun for me.
You don't have to be.
No, I do because I don't like anything that's here. So
that's all right.
Don't worry. Unless there's still wine coolers from the last time.
There might be.
Nobody would have drank them.
I was going to say.
Well, let's go find out and get this beer, too.
Let's go find out and get it in the beer. Later. Or
really?
See you soon. Fuck off.
All right.
Later. Damn it. I did it again.
We're really going to transition better than that.
Yes.
Goodbye.
Who wants an orange whip? Orange whip? Orange whip? Three orange whips.
That wasn't as satisifying as I was hoping.
I don't know.
I really wanted it to go.
It
right
almost
to
went into your glass.
Or to like
Dave's got a bottle cap launcher that he's got. Cracking these beers open with.
Yes, and it's been shot at the eyes of three out of the four normal podcast members.
That was my Christmas present last year.
Yeah, we love it.
Ooh, this is viscous.
If we could find one that you could put multiple caps in and just go...
Are you saying that you would like to pop multiple caps on this podcast?
Uh-huh.
I would like to pop multiple caps at this movie.
So Dave is pouring our bottle of Whiskey Rebellion. Which is from the Warped Wing Brewing Company, I believe is in Dayton.
Dayton, Ohio.
Yes.
Downtown Dayton, yep.
So this is a Russian Imperial Stout.
Oh, dear God.
Which is an 11% ABV, which is apparently taste. I wanted to kill this podcast tonight.
Duh.
You would have thought we picked this movie.
Shit.
So this is... aged in bourbon barrels is the note that I have.
Yep.
Are you supposed to see fumes coming off the top of it?
Yeah. Don't light a cigarette above this.
And the reason that I chose this is because it's called the Whiskey Rebellion, which was something that happened during G-Dub's presidency. And
meaning George Washington.
Yeah.
Indubitably. And
indubitably. Millie loves that word.
Indubitably. Mm-hmm.
That's a good word.
Intrepidably? No.
Indubitably.
Troy is making a lot of faces.
Ooh, that is roasty.
It is.
I'm just going to
whiskey rebellion here.
Like sportscaster this for everyone that everyone is smelling and making a lot of faces.
I think you should smell. Not taste, just smell.
Are you a coffee drinker?
Nope. It's a lot of water and lemonade for me.
Oh, water and lemonade.
Mm-hmm. I'm that kind of white girl.
Oh, that's really good.
I gotta be honest.
Oh dear Lord, that's really good.
Yeah. I like this.
Ah, shit.
A lot.
That's good.
I don't know that I would have, like, there's a reason that they only sold one bottle of this. Like,
yeah.
It didn't come in a, like, we didn't get this out of the mix and match refrigerator.
No, that's a 16 ounce bottle, yeah, isn't it?
Yeah. It was.
At 11%, that's the wise thing to do.
Right. So, and I don't know that I could have more than.
No.
Like,
no, this is a 16
ounce
bottle
kind of thing, mm-hmm, you know, and yeah. I have significantly less of that because I did not think I was going to like the taste of it. And I have a bottle of Sybarite, which we all know that I love, in front of me. Oh, but man. This wow. is good.
At 11%, this is one of the smoothest.
Mm-hmm.
Not this yeah. is not hot at all whatsoever.
No, this is dangerous.
And yeah.
Jen, with no expectation of you actually liking this, I would like for you to get a mouthful and try to figure out what flavors are in it. And please just don't say poop in a vase.
No.
Because
nobody wants to hear that.
I am detecting, oddly enough, not as much coffee as I was expecting.
Milk vanilla. Chocolate.
Milk. Ooh.
That's so hilarious. I feel it's vanilla.
Vanilla, milk chocolate. I'm tasting both of those. And crazy. Don't take a little nip on the tongue. Like, actually swish around a little bit.
Is quite possibly the greatest face I've ever seen her make.
Why didn't I have my camera ready?
She doesn't like coffee. She doesn't like beer. Why did you make her do that, Dave? Why did you listen to Dave?
FDR, because, American badass.
Because he's trying to make her follow the same rules that you have preached multiple times on this podcast, is that don't think about do you like it or do you not like it. Taste it and tell me what flavors you can identify and then move from there.
I also know a person that... I get it. True. I get it. There's plenty. Nice. Oh, Troy's got a fabulous
picture.
So it
probably tastes really sour and really like...
Coffee and cough syrup.
Sure.
Coffee and cough syrup.
Wash it down quick. Chug the rest of that drink.
No, it is funny that you said cough syrup because I'm also detecting really dark fruits in there. Not cherry. A Robitussin cough syrup, but like cherry, like a dark, mm-hmm, dark... Like it tastes...
Or date. I'm going date.
Oh, that's a good one.
Cherry is always... Anytime I think raisin. Cherry, I think Robitussin.
Ooh, that's a good one.
But raisin or date.
Or figs, maybe.
Fig, yeah.
Ooh.
But like the first couple of sips I had was like milk chocolate, like smooth milk chocolate. But now that it's warming up a little bit, I'm getting more of a of date or fig.
That is really good.
With vanilla, so it's
really good.
It's delightful. This is delightful.
In case anybody is wondering, I'm drinking lightly alcoholic Sprite.
Man, you like what you like. Drink what you drink.
Which is okay. We've always said that from the beginning.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, that what you like is what you like, and that's fantastic. But being open to at least trying other things is not the worst way to be.
And you were a good sport about it, just giving it a shot.
Yeah.
And clearly you did not like it, and I feel a little bad, but whatever.
No.
I don't feel bad.
But you tried it. And
I don't feel bad either because it's...
Folks that don't ever want to try anything else, if you're not a five-year-old,
mm-hmm,
then try new things or you'll never experience anything else in your life.
Right. But Kathleen can tell you, 5 years ago, I would not have tried that.
Oh, no. 5 years ago, she would have been a five-year-old.
Yes.
Truthfully, so. I was not expecting you to say yes to my offer of you trying it. So, hats off to you. I don't feel bad that you didn't like it because fuck this movie.
Well, there is that, too.
Oh, this beer is fabulous.
Troy Carlson has a cold. I think his cold is...
Catching up with
it. Messing,
is it hitting you?
It's messing with his ability to taste things well.
Yeah.
And his in general personality. He came home from work early today to take a nap. Mm. Not as early as I think he should have, but he did come home early to take a nap.
It's not a podcast if I'm not sick.
I know.
You got that sexy voice, though.
I do.
Hey, baby.
Are there any other thoughts on the beer before we jump back into the movie?
Well, this is not the first Warped Wing. Like, we've had it in the past.
Yes, we have, and I can't remember what we had.
I think it was a peanut butter porter, and I remember this because I had a hard time saying both peanut butter porter and Warped Wing Brewing Company. It was like
that is a lot.
Yeah. The Warp Wing Brewing Company, Peanut Butter Porter. Holy shit, first try.
It's because you didn't have to this time.
That's American Ninja enunciation right
there. That's loose lips right now.
You're well lubricated.
That's after 9% and a couple of 11%.
This lovely brewery in Dayton.
The brewery's really cool down in Dayton. They've got this old factory. I don't know what used to be in there, but they've got, like, the ceiling is like 30 feet up in the air.
It's not an airplane factory?
No, it's downtown Dayton.
Oh.
I don't think.
Like in the movie?
I don't know.
I mean, Dayton.
Maybe Warped Wing.
Right,
I don't know.
Is right there.
It's entirely possible because they've got these big weighted movers, that these big hooks and these I-beams that go across the high ceilings that would have moved something from somewhere to somewhere else.
Right.
So maybe they were making airplane parts. I don't know. It's highly possible. I never even thought of that.
I mean, during World War II, there were definitely airplane factories in and around the General Columbus area because I know people who worked at one.
And it's in the movie.
It is
well,
in the movie.
Well, but he goes to Dayton, Ohio, but I'm pretty sure he's supposed to be at Wright-Patt, which is the Air Force Base that's down there.
He also did not do any of that.
Well, no, I know that.
The United States was suddenly and deliberately attacked by the Empire of Japan.
Okay, why? Not that I wanted this movie to be any longer than it was. But
it was a perfect 90 minutes done.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Is it because they went with this werewolf storyline that they were able to completely ignore Pearl Harbor?
Yeah, I kind of was expecting to be like, fuck it. Because they actually asked, do you have any ships that you can do without at one point?
And right.
I was almost sure that's like, oh, they're going to be like, fuck it. Let them bomb Pearl Harbor. Then we can start.
Yes, because he was having that conversation with Churchill about, I can't get in this war. I can't get in this war. And then he was like, fine. Do you have anything you can loan us?
We got any extra shit?
Oh, my God. They're going to suggest that it was FDR's idea to do Pearl Harbor so that they could get into the war. But then that didn't happen. And then they just completely ignored Pearl Harbor.
And I don't think that Mussolini, Hitler, and
Hirohito
were all in a foxhole.
They were
firing
not.
They also couldn't do three-way communication either. But
nor was Mussolini planning to open up a chain of Olive Gardens.
Oh my God, I didn't even hear that.
Mussolini
was like, I'm
going to
open a chain of restaurants where the staff treats you like family, and I want to name it the Olive Garden.
He was so... Mussolini was my favorite. That dude was awesome.
Again, not to get too deep into the things, but I feel like by that point that... I want to say that Mussolini was probably dead already.
Yeah.
So obviously some historical inaccuracies.
I hear he died peacefully in his sleep.
No. Historically, was Hitler a werewolf?
I mean...
He had that little mustache.
He was a vegetarian.
And a not smoker, avidly.
True.
An avid not smoker?
Well, no, he actually, Hitler is...
Like a health nut.
Yeah, he...
I've never heard of it as an avid non-smoker.
He did not like it when people smoked around.
Oh, okay, all right. Yeah.
He actually created a lot of the non-smoking policies in Germany at the time, and they basically held on to this day. He also had one nut.
Good for him.
The two are not related. I'm not saying they're related. I'm just saying, like, he didn't smoke. He was a health nut vegetarian. He had one nut.
Smokers. Oh, no.
I'm going to say, I'm a non-smoker. I have no nuts, so.
I knew it.
I mean, I may be looking far too deep into this movie and maybe giving Cleavon Buford way too much credit, but if we subtract Pearl Harbor from this equation, then we give FDR the crisis of needing George Washington's weed. Like, if he had...
I guess.
Like, because he has to make a decision, like, do we go to war or not?
Oh, I see.
But...
And he couldn't... He did. Pearl Harbor made that decision
right,
for him.
Right.
Because the choice...
Well, he could have used the weed, made the decision, and woke up on December 7th.
No one's gonna smoke weed and say, I'm gonna declare war. We're the Doritos.
Yeah,
and then, you know,
I mean, Bud did bring him
Bud
to
from the comedy show.
I did not put two together until you had said that. I'm like, oh my God, that's Rudy's friend.
Bud. Yeah, as soon as he came on screen, I go, it's Bud.
I didn't.
He was also in Not Another Teen Movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh God. I think you and I took a look at each other during this. And I was like, huh? Yeah.
Bud from The Cosby Show.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time on the IMDb page for this movie.
There's nothing on the IMDb page.
They talk about the living on a prayer moment.
Yes.
Yes.
But I was looking at the cast list.
Oh, yeah. Because it's deep.
That's a wormhole, too, because you can just go down and like see all the other bad movies that some of the like lesser actors have been in. Evil Bong, one of the girls, is one. It was an Evil Bong.
There's a movie called Evil Bong?
Yeah.
There's seven movies called Evil Bong.
Interesting.
Evil Bong. Like, Evil Bong 2, King Bong. I have them right here.
That's all right.
Did you make a list for future episodes?
I was looking them over, like,
You know what? My first instinct was to ask, like, who are these movies for? And then I immediately answered my own question, like, oh, I get it.
Because when I was trying to figure out what movie to watch, it was between this and a movie called He Killed Hitler and then Bigfoot.
Oh, Sam Elliott. I've heard about that.
But the trailer looked really good and not a bad movie. And then I pulled up their IMDb pages and I saw
Kathleen's just like, what the
Kevin
fuck?
Sorbo played Abraham Lincoln and went, decision made.
When this movie ended last night, Troy
Kevin
goes,
Sorbo in anything.
Isn't Kevin Sorbo like... super Christian.
Yes.
Born again.
Yeah.
Movie.
And I was like, did this movie push him over the edge? And then we looked into it, and yes, I believe it did.
Right after this, he turned super Christian.
He has, according to his IMDb page, his two more conservative religious films were 2014 and 2017.
Which is after this.
Which is after this.
Came out.
So
God's Not Dead. And probably the sequel to God's Not Dead.
But he is an executive producer on FDR.
He was, yes, he was. I saw that in the credits.
Yeah.
But to completely diverge from what we're talking about right now, like as Jen talks about the alternatives that she could have picked instead of this movie, like you can, I'm looking at Kathleen and just as she's sitting there throwing her hands in the air, like we had another choice.
or that doesn't sound any better.
But the other choice looked too good.
To which I say, then let's watch it.
That is not the brief of this podcast. It is not good beer, good movie, or good beer, I don't know, it looks okay. It is good beer, bad movie.
Right, but it's also not good beer and friendships.
Yes.
That's a good point.
When I chose it, I didn't know about the shitting in the vodka. That was not in the trailer.
That is it's not in the trailer. You're right.
I feel like that's a sentence that's never been spoken out aloud in the history
shitting
of humanity.
Shitting in the Voss was not in the trailer, guys.
No,
okay?
No, I didn't know about the shitting in the Voss part. The shitting in the Voss was not in the trailer.
If it was, I wouldn't have chosen. I would have chosen the one about Hitler and Bigfoot.
We could do that next year. Oh, my goodness.
So we talked a lot about sort of race and homophobia in this movie, but we haven't talked about the women necessarily, except sort of like vaguely Eleanor. But we haven't really talked about Marietta, who is Cleavon's wife.
Who's going to blow everybody in Georgia to get...
Slash has blown everything.
Or maybe has. But yeah,
and Washington and Germany.
And definitely the dude from Rizzoli and Isles.
And England, because at one point when Churchill like sends a telegram, he's like, can you send Marietta, Mrs. Buford? And
you're hung like an ox.
Right.
Yes.
So, because I didn't know what to do about this character. Like, she is obviously very sexually adventurous. She's very sexually confident. But Cleavon is selling her.
Oh, yeah. Oh totally. Yeah.
And you're just like, she is enjoying herself.
And so, other people. And...
Right. So, like, where is the line between he is pimping her out and she is a part of this endeavor?
I got the impression that Cleavon was making the introductions for her because she's the one that wants it and he's the one that's getting it for her. Not that he's pimping her, but he's sort of like her agent. Like, get me these jobs and I will...
Jobs is an interesting...
Jobs,
A pimp, controls the work. Mm-hmm. And an agent works for the performer.
Mm-hmm.
That was my impression.
I a little bit agree with you. I think that her character if we want to assign some sort of actual deep thought to this, which Eek. Only a 9% beer
slash a pop culture historian. Well,
like a 9% beer, a giant gulp of an 11% beer, and half a bottle of pretentious Sybarite can to do is
Sybarite.
And all of that alcohol made me forget what I was going to say. Oh, I feel like theirs is a marriage of kind of like what you were saying about the real Eleanor and FDR, in that it is a marriage of partnership to gain something from the other one. She is a repressed woman of the South who the only way she's going to get what she wants is to be connected to somebody who's going to have a lot of money. She is this sexually adventurous person and wants to have that. And she's married to a slobbering idiot cripple.
Literally.
So if she's
uncle,
which I don't understand at all either. But if she is blowing everybody else and it's getting him the promotions he needs, he's probably leaving her the fuck alone. So that was kind of where I was with her. Other than just the overt grossness of miming blowjobs with the tongue in the cheek thing and
the mashed potatoes.
The sound that made was
chicken bone,
the chicken bone and the mashed potatoes. That was so gross.
Yeah. That made a sound that I could only describe as gloppy.
Oh,
yeah, that's pretty
and
good.
And
gloopy.
Like,
oh, that's so much better.
And like suctiony. Ugh.
Oh, that's worse.
Oh, yeah.
And yet better.
Awful.
Suctiony.
Yes.
Speaking of sounds, I could hear Kathleen furiously writing her notes. Yeah. And I looked at Troy and I said, I can't tell if this is her normal writing or if she's so mad that I can actually hear her like putting pen to paper.
Yeah, she's going Super Saiyan.
She's got 5 pages of notes on this movie.
Yeah, but a lot of them are.
That's amazing. I have 3.
I hate this movie.
And they're all delightful.
I hate everyone who's
just variations of
this movie.
Oh, yeah.
This movie is homophobic. This movie is racist.
I have one. And it's like, I've got like, that dude just pooped in a vase. Thundercunt. Which is one of the.
Thundercunt. I've got Thundercunt written down.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite words, by the way.
Yeah. I hate that word.
Heil me. That was funny.
Heil me.
Heil Hitler, heil me. Yeah, I get it.
But also in Jojo Rabbit, the Hitler imaginary character says heil me a lot. And so it's a thing I've seen a couple of times recently, and it's still
it's funny.
Fucking funny every time I see it. So at the end of the movie, again, kind of going into this alternative history thing, FDR is alive.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, he doesn't live through his 11th administration or whatever.
He's right, elected for his fourth term in November of 1944. He gets inaugurated March of 45. He is theoretically supposed to be president through March of 49, but he dies April 12th of 45. Mm-hmm. So he dies 3 weeks into his fourth term. In the movie, he survives Normandy. Only took him 16 days because it's a bitch to
roll a wheelchair through sand.
Yeah.
Not wrong, I'm here to tell you. It's one of those, like, historians love what-ifs. Like, what if JFK hadn't been assassinated? What if this? What if that?
That's a good book.
It is. And so it is one of those things where now, while I do understand that there are quite a few problems with this film, I did go into this thing of, like, okay, what if FDR had not died? I'm trying really hard not to, like, go into lecture mode. But he had a certain gravitas with Stalin and with Churchill and with the other leaders of the world that his vice president Truman super did not have.
Yeah.
And so that set a tone later on that was harder for Truman to do. And Truman still had another 3-4 months of the war, because the war in the Pacific didn't end until August. So
I was like, I'll just nuke him. Ah!
Essentially.
Yeah.
And so even though, obviously, massive problems, but that was something that, given the end of the movie, that's kind of where my brain went, was like, oh, he lived. So that's one of the things that made me think about this movie. It was like, what if?
What if his son pooped into a vase? Well, I keep going back to that because, like, that is the movie encapsulated.
So it's the one thing that doesn't fit.
So I meant to look this up because according to IMDb, this is James. James Roosevelt was an American businessman, Marine, activist, and Democratic Party politician.
Vase pooper.
He received the Navy Cross for extraordinary heroism while serving in the Marine Corps during World War II. He died in 1991 in Newport Beach. He had several children. Da 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 da. So there's nothing on his Wikipedia page about pooping in a bus.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Like, there are moments where I wanted to laugh and didn't because I wanted Donna to feel her rage. And
I didn't have that problem.
And if I were to laugh,
my cats were fine.
Right.
If I were to laugh while she was sitting there just fuming, I feel like I would have undermined her emotions, which are perfectly valid.
I don't know that that's the way she would have felt, but she definitely would think less of you.
Yeah, I wasn't really.
She's already married to you. Whatever, dude.
But I wasn't lying when I said that this is like one of the more awkward moments of our marriage, watching this movie for the 36 minutes she was actually present. But had she not been there, and had Troy watched this movie independently of his own wife, who is present, I don't know why I'm speaking to you like you're not here.
I'm right here, but that's okay.
And Pete, who has so very clearly watched this without his wife.
Twice.
You watched it twice?
Uh-huh.
Twice. He almost always watches the movie twice.
Well, okay, I watch it once sober, and I watch it once... No, once... Anyway.
Okay, so I'm going to ask Troy, since you and I are the ones who had to watch this with our wives, and like neither of whom appreciated the movie, and rightly so, what moments, if you can remember them, did you see that you wanted to laugh and didn't?
Oh.
Jen's doing a finger waggle at you. I don't know what that means.
Because there's a part where when FDR wants a press release about his cock still working, and he pokes it through the newspaper. That's really funny.
You guys both laughed at that.
It's a full picture of him in his wheelchair, and he stuck his finger right in his crotch, and he wiggled it.
That's the only one I could do that was like a pantomime, so I don't know what else you wanted me to do.
But you guys both laughed at that.
All the dick jokes.
I don't know. What would you have laughed at?
I'm really trying to think of where
I didn't want to laugh at the Hirohito stuff. But for whatever reason, since you were making fun of the Italians and the Germans, just dump the Japanese on top of them. It's like, okay, whatever. You're just doing it to a whole bunch of people. Ridiculous accents and colloquialisms and, you know.
When the Hirohito, the minion, comes back to offer him something and he goes, didn't I already shoot you? And the guy goes, no, we don't all look alike. Like, it's two Asian dudes saying that to each other.
Right,
and I use heavy air quotes on the word Asian dudes because I'm pretty sure that those were not Asian actors.
The guy who played Hirohito was Chinese.
He was Chinese,
But the other guy I don't think was at all.
Yeah. One moment for me, admittedly, was toward the beginning of the movie after FDR had been attacked by a werewolf and contracted polio. And the doctor had taken the Bruce McGill character aside and is like, I need to show you something. Something I need to show you. Mm-hmm. And Bruce McGill just grabs him and says, do not grab your dick and ask me to guess the temperature.
Yeah, see, that's the homophobic shit that I'm talking about.
Like, I didn't get the homophobia out of that one, too. It's more of like a don't make me grab your dick. Not because grabbing dicks is bad, but because...
I like my dick.
It's more of a, like a, haha, I tricked you into doing something thing. Like, I get
what you're saying, I guess. But then the very next thing that he does is take him to the morgue and he pulls the sheet off the dead guy who has a squirrel half of his ass.
Right. But that's not a gay thing. That's a squirrel thing. Why do I feel like my puberty is way different than you guys?
What you do behind closed doors is entirely up to you, and I do not judge you in any way. But there is that, like, the whole thing that Richard Gere was supposedly accused of in, like, the late 70s.
Oh, that was the gerbil
about,
thing.
Like, the gerbil and the...
But I never associated the Richard Gere gerbil thing with being gay. I just thought it was, like, a thing that he liked to do with rodents.
I think that any time, unfortunately, negative pop culture is referencing men and their assholes.
And butt stuff.
It is a attempt to tear down the gay community. I could be wrong as not a gay man.
I could be completely wrong.
Yeah, you're
clearly
wrong.
Not.
But
a good
I feel like I'm in the ballpark of being right.
I can't say that you're wrong or right. I don't know. I don't know for sure. As a not gay man myself, and I also don't like animals in my butt.
No,
or truthfully,
either,
anything in my butt.
I didn't think I had to clear that, but yes.
But I guess there's a delineation for me between just butt stuff and gay stuff.
Right.
Like, I don't immediately associate one with the other, necessarily.
Right. No, I don't either, except for when it's the concept of men tearing other men down. Like, the whole thing of poisoning the sake with werewolf blood wasn't going to do anything because only pussies drink that, yeah, like that.
It was pussies in the gays, wasn't it?
Yeah, he said they come down with a case of dick in the mouth if anybody right. drank that.
Oh, like, that's right. I missed that part.
You see what I, well, you were probably still so offended about all the other aspects of your culture that were being ripped apart at that moment that I'm not surprised you missed that part of it. So
we Asians are like Martians. That's a joke.
I don't know what that joke means, but okay.
It means that it's, since we're, there is a perpetual, like, we're always associated with being just a perpetual foreigner.
Gotcha.
So anything associated with Asian or Asianness in the United States is automatically associated with something that's unusual or foreign or alien, and thus is apparently in some circles,
like, way out there.
Yeah, it's acceptable for ridicule.
Gotcha.
Like fa ra 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 ra, or
right, right.
eating a duck with a head on it.
Right.
But were we talking about butt stuff? Do I really want to go back to butt stuff?
Well, I'm just saying, I was surprised that as the other person on this podcast who was at least able to channel the rage that I was feeling in watching this movie, that you did not pick up on how homophobic the movie was.
I did, but not as much as you did.
Yeah.
I did pick up on the racism.
Oh, yeah.
That was easy.
But I also, I've also picked up on Cleavon calling himself a repube, which also made me laugh.
That was so stupid. And see, to me, that was another, I mean, it was stupid and it was totally sophomore humor, but it was also Southerners are idiots, you know?
Which is an unfortunate association with the accent. Like, if people hear a Southern accent, they automatically assume that this person is an uneducated local.
Yeah, it's like, I'm still listening to the, spoiler alert, Dolly Parton's America podcast, where they're talking to all those students from, is it the University of Tennessee? Mm. Where how many of those kids are from that area, do not sound like they are from that area, and talk about how they consciously re-taught themselves to speak to get rid of their Southern accents because people assumed they were idiots because of it.
To piggyback off of Dave's question, the men in the room, those that watched it with their wives, and those
who are Pete.
was there a difference in the reaction to the boobies?
I was surprised that there were boobies in this movie. Being in 2012 film, I was like, "Whoa, there are boobies." It didn't occur to me that there could possibly be naked breasts in it, and there were a couple.
Three. And it seemed so out of place.
Yeah, it was totally out of place.
Gratuitous and unnecessary.
Like the beer pong was like, what is this doing?
Yeah. Or the very racist, thanks for freeing me, Abe. I'm fucking a white girl.
Oh, yeah, that I got.
Emancipate that ass.
Yeah.
There will always be a difference in my reaction to boobies.
Based on whether or not I'm sitting in there.
Because when she's not there, I look like the wolf in the old Tex Avery cartoons. Like, ooh, wow!
Oh, God!
However.
I was there.
You were there.
And you were sitting between myself and Jen. So it would be...
I mean, we could have, like, fist bumped. A little and grosser. I'd be like, there's boobs. Boobs. Like, yeah!
So you took... Yeah. You kept the hooting down to a minimum.
I did.
The hooters down to a minimum. Right.
This movie did not keep the hooters down to a minimum.
Good.
They were just, it was just, boop, there they are. And it wasn't like, there was nothing sexual about it at all. It was just like,
especially the first pair.
Boobs.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
one where
well, none of them were. Well, maybe the last one a little bit, but it's still a little bit of just screwing out of a window.
As far as the boobies go, I honestly was incredibly indifferent to them. I
shit, didn't know about all sorts of shit there. As far as the movies go.
Like, and I am a huge boobie enthusiast.
I was going to say, that's surprising to hear you say that you're indifferent to the boobies. The first boobies that came up were the flattest boobies ever. Like, I wasn't even entirely sure that they were boobies right at first.
Oh, the guy that was laying down?
Because she's laying down. Okay, okay. Yeah.
Give her a break.
Oh.
No. When she sat up, they came to life. But it was because she was laying down that I was like, is that it? Oh, that is a
don't
girl.
Don't booby shame.
I'm not.
I mean, yes, we should never shame boobies.
I love them all.
And
small
hello.
Small ones, big
that
ones,
is
round
my dream.
Ones, skinny ones.
To be fair, I was really distracted by FDR doing a body shot.
You're right. So yeah. I was. Yeah. Right out of her navel. Right. Yeah.
But no, truly, like, I love boobs.
Who doesn't?
Of all shapes and sizes.
Who doesn't?
But in this movie, I think I was just kind of just aghast at the rapid-fire, sophomoric, lowbrow humor that the presence of boobies, while not unwelcome, was...
It's wallpaper.
Man.
Next to everything
was.
Else that was
yeah,
happening.
Yeah, wallpaper.
It was
yeah.
not... the boobies in this movie were not boobie as surprising
boobie
as
wallpaper.
The...
I want boobie wallpaper.
Do they make wallpaper like that?
Absolutely. They had wrapping paper like
bet,
that at Wildcat
I bet we could
yesterday.
Get on DeviantArt and find some booby wallpaper.
The boobies on this were not as surprising as whatever that fake Corey Haim movie we watched.
Oh, Bordello of Blood.
Yeah.
It's Bordello of Blood. You don't think you're going to see boobies in that movie?
Well, I didn't say that I wasn't going to, but the way they're introduced in that film, it's more like, well, hello,
surprise!
Now it's boobs.
Ta-da!
Here is 10 seconds of sustained boob footage.
Where this it was like, oh, boobs. Well, dick joke, boobs. Dick joke, boobs. Oh, yeah. I think what's surprising is that it took so long.
Yeah. When Werewolf Hitler was playing beer pong with topless girl,
yeah.
I was thinking... She looks cold. That's right. All I really thought. Like,
right. So Pete, as the person who did not watch this film with their wife, what were the gross or not moments that you laughed? Because I will say, as much as I hated this movie, the one sophomoric thing that I did laugh at was when, and I don't even remember who fucking said that they basically were trying to describe that they were useless. And they describe themselves as a bag of dicks at a lesbian conference.
No, language.
That was FDR.
FDR.
Oh, yeah. And then she said language, and then he said it in French.
Well,
and she was like,
sort of
better.
French. It was
well, yeah.
Fr-American. Frangless.
Yeah.
Franglais. Yeah.
Franglais, yes. I laughed at that, too.
Yeah.
So the humor was there. I laughed a lot, but the things that made me laugh the most were the things that I wasn't ready for. Right at the beginning, when the first guy got killed by the werewolf, and the werewolf ripped the heart out of this dude and threw it at Bruce McGill. Why would you do that?
Why would you take the effort?
Yeah,
I think just, like, shrugged.
The movie won me over at that moment. I'm like, oh, I had to pause and laugh my ass off, and then. Okay,
that must be when I got the text of, oh my God, I love this movie. Because it was very early was right on. Away.
Oh, wait, he said, why take the time? That's what it was.
Exactly. When they first meet the Southern fellow, Cleavon. And he's out there, are you looking at my wife's breasts? Oh, no, sir. Well, you can. It's okay. We're okay with that. And then he throws his gun down.
And it
goes off.
Yeah.
Was not expecting that,
well,
but I should have.
Important line. He's like, "Oh, that's okay. I just like to watch."
Yes. And well, okay. Who doesn't want to be vice president of the hot tub committee? the last big laugh I had reminded me of Taxi, the TV show Taxi.
Okay.
When FDR asks his secretary to read back the memo aloud, and she goes.
FDR! Yes.
He's like, no. Just read it to me. Not.
Oh, like a literal joke, like Airplane?
That was Taxi. Jim, slow down. What do you do when the light is yellow?
Yeah.
No? Nobody?
No, I get exactly what you're saying.
Nobody.
I do that a lot. Yeah. Like if someone will say to me, you know, you're doing something too fast or slow down or say that again, I will always revert to that and be like, do you yes. want to, you know, or whatever.
Those things made me laugh a whole lot. And I also didn't know that the Oval Office was considered the 00.
Oh, I missed that. Though the Batman swipes, I also.
Those were great.
I made reference of that in my notes. That they were the Batman swipe.
And then the one with the marijuana leaf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When he was in G-Dub Stash.
Yeah. Yes.
And the random eagle cartoon.
Oh.
At the end of the
when they were high and he was supposed to grab a hold of the...
And he didn't.
Abe, you're not honest! Because he's trying to grab the eagle. I was like, all right, so can we give this a rating and be done talking about this horrible, horrible experience in my life.
The
reason I may not return to this podcast.
Slash, I may not return to Ohio.
But no, let's put a cork in this, seriously. Let's put a strategic cork in this.
We have lost freaking frack over here.
There's a joke in here somewhere. I know it. Okay, so.
We're either too mad, too drunk, or too sick to come up with it.
That's
no, I mean, honestly, too. I'm leaning on Team Drunk over here.
Okay, so anyway, we here at Good Beer, Bad Movie Night have a rather unique rating system. We have the six-pack rating, where we rate a movie on a scale of one beer to six beers, or zero beers to six beers. Zero or one beer means that you really enjoyed the movie. You don't need any sort of anesthetization in order to enjoy it. A rating of six beers means you have to be conceptually completely inebriated in order to tolerate the movie. That being said, I am going to save Kathleen for last because I know her rating.
That's an easy prediction, I believe.
Okay, Jen, on a scale of zero beers to six beers, conceptually,
right.
How many beers do you require to enjoy this movie? Zero, of course, meaning you can completely sober, and six meaning you need to not remember this movie after you've seen it.
I need precisely zero beers.
All right, cool. Awesome.
So much judgment.
Yeah.
So much judgment from so many people one side of this room.
No.
I'm just in one side. The other side is fine.
So you truly enjoyed the movie, like, beginning
for
to
what
end.
It is, taking it face value for what it is, sophomoric dick jokes, historical
boobs.
Inaccuracy, boobs. I laughed out loud.
Homophobic.
I laughed out loud. There are some very real problems. There are some very real problems, but I laughed out loud. So, and I need zero beers to get through it.
Okay, that's fair.
So much judgment.
Okay, God. You know what, Troy?
Yeah.
How many beers do you require to enjoy this movie?
Honestly, five.
Five?
Wow. Yeah. It was, because you asked me, you're like, what would you have laughed at if Kathleen had not been sitting next to you, and I was like, ugh. Probably, like, Clavon was kind of funny in a couple of moments,
yeah.
And there was some things that were good, but I didn't enjoy it, and I was generally kind of offended by, I'm not usually offended by shit, but like, I was like, God, something just was wrong. It wasn't good. I didn't enjoy it. Five.
All right, that's fair. Captain Von Trapp.
Is that me?
Yes. Pete, how many beers do you require to enjoy this movie?
Just one.
I am
just
not
one.
Surprised.
It was very silly, and it hit all the funny points.
Okay,
it was
so why the one beer?
Because I'm going to have a beer with it. It's not it's not a movie I don't need some sort of alcohol to enjoy. It's
a courtesy beer.
Yeah, yeah. It's not Star Wars. It's not Jurassic Park. It's not Godzilla.
The Godfather.
Right. Those I don't need anything. This one, yeah, give me a beer. I'm going to enjoy it. I got to giggles pretty quick. So, yeah, just one.
So you had problems with it, but none of these problems were actually problems.
Oh, yeah, there were problems. The homosexual...
Homophobic.
Homophobic parts of it were really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
The shitting in a vase was like, what? You know, just cut that out. We've cut 5 minutes out of the movie, and you've not missed anything.
True.
So those are the only two parts. I'm like, you could have excluded those jokes and that action. And I thought it would have been a better movie. But one beer is all I need.
Okay. One for Pete, unsurprisingly. Now it's down to me and Kathleen. The two people in the room who probably hated this movie the most. Do I start with you or me?
Man, the suspense is killing me.
Which one says six first?
Okay, Kathleen, why is this movie six beers for you?
This movie is six beers for me because even though, yes, the podcast is Good Beer, Bad Movie, and yes, it's supposed to be a bad movie, and there are movies that I have fallen asleep to, and there are movies that I just was annoyed by and I walked out of, but I will say to you that this movie is six beers because it was just stupid from top to bottom. There's nothing redeeming to it at all. It just, the story didn't make any sense. The werewolves that don't follow werewolf rules, the vase we're not even going to go to because I feel like we have clearly covered that in the episode.
Ad nauseum, yes.
Yes, the nauseum is right. The
should have been covered, Mary.
Should have covered that up, right?
Just all of it was just, it was, in my opinion, the worst movie that we have watched in the entire time that we have been doing this.
Wow.
And literally, it has dethroned The Swarm as the worst movie. I wrote down in my book, my God, I think I missed The Swarm. I texted you today and said, or last night or whenever it was, I said in text, it was like, oh my God, this fucking movie, I seriously might be missing The Swarm to the 7-hour sequel. That might have been a better movie. And Dave's response was, oh fuck. And I was like, ooh, guess Dave hasn't watched the movie yet.
I didn't.
So sorry if that colored your thought process going in, but not sorry that I warned you that it was a complete shithole.
That's fair. Mm-hmm. And truthfully, like, that did actually cushion the blow of when I did start the movie.
Oh, you're welcome.
Because, yeah.
So I guess my question then to you is, are you at a six or are you at a five like Troy?
My first reaction is to say six, but I'm going to give it a five.
And I get that.
The reason I give it a five is because I did genuinely laugh at a few moments. I remember once upon a time I have said in podcasts past that I will give a movie a six if I feel insulted by it.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt insulted by this movie.
Yeah.
However, there are parts of it that I appreciated enough that I can't give it the worst rating possible. Because if somebody were to ask me, like, hold a gun to my head and ask me, did you enjoy none of this? I couldn't say that I didn't enjoy. I couldn't say that. I mean, I did enjoy parts of it.
Yeah.
And the parts that I enjoyed, I really enjoyed. But I don't know if that makes up for the rest. Yeah.
I mean, the parts that I could have at most chuckled or guffawed at most of the time were the type of laughter that I give when something is funny, but it's not, where I go, huh, that's funny. Like, I don't actually laugh.
Laugh at all my
I
notes.
Go, huh, well.
Oh,
am I five beers? Or am I six beers?
Troy's a five beer husband.
No.
Borderline six beer.
No way.
So, do I get some sort of prize for dethroning The Swarm?
No, because it wasn't universal.
Yes. The Swarm is a universal thing.
The Swarm. Yeah. We had,
all the way across.
Did we have
the
two
board.
In a row, or did we have...
Yes, Pete. I am responsible for the two in a row. I think it's in a row.
Yeah.
What was the other one?
That'll be on the stars.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
sorry, Christopher Page.
If you like the movies that we hate, totally fine.
No. Absolutely.
We just disagree with you.
No.
But, like, both The Swarm...
You need help.
The Swarm and Battle Beyond the Stars were both universally reviled by the four of us on the regular cast. Because FDR, American Badass, was not universally reviled, you have not dethroned me.
Sad.
You are the queen to his king, though.
There have been sixes in the past, but only two films have universally gotten six.
Right.
But I'm a contender.
Yeah. You are a contender.
That's not a challenge, by the way. Just please don't try to outdo yourself.
I'm proud of this. I lived up to the brief.
Wait until next year.
Well, we should wait out till next year, because if she's coming back, she'll pick it again.
you are welcome to stay at Pete's house or even my place. We would love to have you, and I think that your movies would be awesome in small doses.
Just to be fair, like I said in text before, Jen and I have a long storied relationship, and one terrible dick-filled movie is not going to end it, but I did enjoy glaring at her for a good amount of time and making her sweat about it, so...
She will not let me forget this. This this will be swarm level texts for the next 17 years.
And I will say this, even though I chose the two reviled movies of the podcast, Kathleen doesn't hate me. Like, yeah, she wasn't as upset with me as she is with you.
I'm not. I love Jen. She's my favorite now.
Lost Kathleen, but I gained Pete.
You've upgraded, son.
Have you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I personally want you to be on the podcast more. I would like for you to stay in contact.
It's fun. I frequently, like, I listen to it.
I
frequently listen.
I find you amazingly tolerable.
No.
I can't wait to endure another episode.
It is being friends with all of you IRL. It is really nice to be able to connect with all of you in my car radio once a month.
Jen, you were talking about attending a con here coming up.
Like a conference or a...
Conference.
So it is an academic conference.
It's academia then.
It is.
It's not G-Fest. It's not
a collection of jackholes.
Jackholes.
I mean, that is to be determined, to be fair. No, it is a lot of, like, grad students, professors, but it's also, like, normal people, for lack of a better term. Like, people outside of academia. Anybody who wishes to be involved in...
Like the layperson.
Right. So it is the Pop Culture and American Culture Association. But there are also regional versions. So I also belong to the Mid-Atlantic Pop and American Culture Association. I know that PCA, the national, has a beer studies area of study.
Ooh, do they have a bad movie area study?
I honestly don't. I would have to look. I printed out a list of all of the areas for one of my students to look at, and it was a 23-page list of all of the areas.
So this list can be found on their website?
It is, and I will give the website.
Yeah.
PCAACA.org.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Also, the third one down is Adolescence in Film and Television. That sounds perfect, right?
Adolescence in film, not adolescence watching film.
My adolescent brain.
Goofball,
right.
Screwball thing.
Yes.
But I have attended panels on horror movies. I mean, it is everything under the sun. So it's essentially 4.5 days from 8 a.m. until 6 or 7 p.m. of nonstop panel presentations on pop and American culture. And you can attend as just an attendee, or if anybody is interested, this year the submission window is closed, but you can just submit 250 words on something that you're interested, like Christopher Mim movies or Godzilla movies or your beers, and you could do a presentation on that. It's 20 minutes. And
so it's a nerd festival with academics.
Yep.
An academic nerd fest.
Yes.
I'm fascinated. I truly am fascinated.
It's
a different kind of con. This is a...
It absolutely is.
Now, do they have the regular stuff, the vendors and the crap? Or is it strictly academic?
The vendors are book publishers and stuff like that.
Academia. Books. And
they're selling and books.
Possibly film.
Occasionally, but the books are I don't know, Buffy or Black Widow or I walk out with stacks and stacks and stacks.
So they're not selling TARDIS t-shirts and stuff?
No, okay. Usually not, no.
This is a smart nerd conference.
It is not a convention, it's a conference.
Right.
Conference.
Yes.
Okay,
right.
Sure.
It is really interesting because essentially what we did tonight is exactly what we do. You know, we sit down and we talk about the tropes, how are women represented, how
potato fuckers.
How are different ethnicities represented?
It makes it seem like you think women are presented as potato
fuckers. You know what?
We should probably. We could probably nerd out about this for quite some time.
I think we could nerd out about.
So we could nerd out about
this conference for a very long time. I think this is really important, and we'll make sure that we put these notes in the show notes or these the website in the show notes. Ooh. Yeah, 9 and 11%. Yep. Rock and roll.
And a whole cibarette.
Hey, Kathleen.
Hey, what?
Can you help me out here?
I can try.
Because I can't do this anymore. Can you tell the lovely listener where they can possibly contact us?
Well, dear listener. Yes, you are here.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And
let's not name all of our listeners.
No, I'm done at this point.
It doesn't matter. Yeah.
If you would like to get a hold of us, I have had so much to drink.
Pete almost just fell out of his chair.
I almost fell out of my chair. There's no back on this chair. Did you realize that?
Yeah.
You just did, though, didn't you?
You might have been drinking.
If you would like to reach out and tell us how I am absolutely right in my rating of this movie and the rest of these yahoos are completely wrong, you can do that at GBBMNN.
Nope. Nope, wrong.
I knew that was wrong.
There.
Give me the paper. Oh my god. I don't even know if I can read right now.
Oh shit.
Jesus.
You can email us at gbbmnpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at gbbmnpodcast. Or you can reach out to us on the Facebook at Good Beer Bad Movie Night.
God help
you. You sure about that?
Yes, I am. Don't pet me. And yeah, that's all I had to say.
Oh god. Okay, before this gets completely out of control.
Too late.
Although yeah, it's true. We're gonna sign off. Thank you so much. We will see you next month. And until next time.
Marco.
Polio.
Boo.
Shower beer.
Poop whiskey.
Oh, so dirty.
My name is Pete, and let's try that again. I lost my track of
you
that.
You messed up on your own name?
I did. I certainly did.
My name is Tim. No, fuck.
What'd you call him once? Eddie?
Phil.
Phil.
Could be worse. Could call him Mom.
Ooh. All right, stick to the script, dickhead. And then we will wrap up the day with our six-pack rating. And then we'll wrap it all up with our six-pack rating, where we will give... That's not a good either.
Just fair viewer, listener.
Fair viewer?
That's totally sober,
do you know
too,
how
which
this
is
works?
Great.
Allow me to drink in your sumptuous décolletage.
Dave, maybe all the outtakes won't be you this time.
Beer studies is a subject area at this conference.
Is shitting in a vase a subject?
It will be.
A vase, sorry.
That's unbeatable. Oh my god, I am dying. I am dying on the inside. You have sex in your ass.
While all of us were watching this movie individually. You gotta put that shit away. It's really fucking with me.
Sorry.
No, don't put it away. It's hard
to take Troy seriously.
I can't look at your big veiny hand.
Veiny green hand like the Hulk. Yeah,
he's drinking out of a Hulk hand. I had a point to all this.
Sorry. I totally interrupted. Does Donna know you're trying to eat things off of her Christmas tree?
But you must fashion the candy cane into a razor sharp shiv.
I'm FDR. Fuck off.
Marco. Polio.
Polio.
This movie really brings out your bro side.
Fuck me.
The highlight of this movie is there's a guy that poops in a vase.
That is not a highlight.
I didn't need to see that. That looked like a real poop. After these messages, we'll be right back.
Cockroaches with human heads is not as bad as shitting in a vase. Yeah.
Memories all alone. I've got a cold. That's some high-tech turd technology.
Then you should have tried harder to get me to drink.
I'm trying hard to get you to drink.
I was drinking like a liter of Mountain Dew a day.
I know.
And oh my god.
Stopped.
You don't strike me as an Appalachian.
Yes.
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 We are.
Go
on is one.
We are the hill people.
She's gonna throw an apple at you.
We all share a tooth. Warping does warp ring.
Jinx yourself. Womp. Sad. I'm gonna give the microphone back to Kathleen.
We even discussed on air we're making Jen pee, and then Dave just usually cuts that part out.
Now Dave has to go pee.
He would have heard it.
Oh.
We're just gonna leave Troy here today.
Oh, you're talking about Lincoln sleeping with dudes?
Yeah.
What? No, I don't hear it. Anyway,
I'll tell you tomorrow.
It's already been heard.
The cat's out of the bag, Pete.
Yes, let's seriously put a butt plug in this. We hear a good bit. Flatulating with my mouth. Okay. Okay, shut up. Shut the fuck up. All right. I hear a lot of coughing and laughing and not shutting the fuck up.
Okay. Shutting the fuck up.
We hear a good bit. All
right. If that's happening.
No, stop. No. This is happening.
This is why we don't bring a 9 and an 11% to the podcast.
Thanks, Phil. I mean, Jen.
Is anyone sweating? I'm sweating.
No, but like, it's the most exercise I've had in a while.
Everybody, all right.
You're the one that's got to talk, man. We can just laugh quietly.
I know that.
I have the giggles.
Did you say the Kegels?
She's got the Kegels.
Kegels.
Oh. All right. Kathleen's mic is off.
Oh, God. I thought you said the Kegels. I was like, okay. I'm laughing so hard, I'm exercising my vagina. We here at Good Beer, Bad Movie Night have a rather unique rating system. Stop it!
I was really there.
No, that guy. What? Pete.
God damn it, Pete. Stop looking at him.
Okay. We're never going to get through this. We're never going to get through this. I'm just going to call you different names now. Okay, Gidget. So, Fraulein Maria, how many beers... So, our special guest, Liesl. What? Our special guest, Phil. I mean, Jen. Did I call you Fraulein Maria?
You did.
Anal vice, nice and tight. Show me your brown eye to me. Or something.
That means butthole.
I know.
It's literally amazing, insightful information for butts.
Either, man. I'm not a werewolf.
I figured that was going to be...
No, Pete, I felt that through the floor.
Oh, Kathleen.
I believe she was overserved, your...
But I also have had a 9 and a little 11 and a whole Cibre.
I'm good.
Thunder cunt.
Blah, blah, blah. Stop making that hand signal at me.
Who hasn't fucked a potato?
I haven't.
Moving on.
Not all women. Never mind. I couldn't even get that out.
I'm gonna. There was yes.